Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am here for the finals of our listener tournament with Scott Barber taking on Russ Friedewald. Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Nervous. This is nerve-wracking. I think I said that.
Yeah, every time you say you're nervous, you double somebody up. I'm just saying.
Well, obviously, that will not be happening today.
Oh, I don't know about that. I can't be as nervous as I am. I've been listening to the other shows, and yeah, this is going to be a monumental challenge for me. But you know, I'm just happy to have made it as far as the finals. So,
well, you guys have both had quite a road to get here, Scott. You in particular. You started with Nick, and then you went up through Jeffrey, and then went through Amy. That was a real tough road. And then Rush, you started with Carmella, and then you went through Bob. Bob was kind of like a hot knife through butter there.
I don't know.
But then you had a real challenge with Chris in the last one. You've both been tested, and so now you've made it through your individual brackets, and the winner of this is going to get a chance later on to go head-to-head with me, and maybe Chris, maybe Carmel, I'm not sure if we'll do a three-way. I've been doing more three-ways as we started recording the regular shows again, so we may see how that plays out. But I think it's going to be fun either way.
Sounds fun.
All right, so I'm ready for a warm-it-up Chris question. What up, Chris? I'm about to. What up, Chris? 'Cause that's what I was born into. Today, we're going to be talking about the smartest states in the country.
Ooh.
So I've got a list of the smartest states in the country reported by TheStreet.com in 2014. Their very unscientific criteria was a simple look at the percentage of residents with a bachelor's degree.
Ah.
So essentially, you're looking to name the states with the highest percentage of people with a bachelor's degree. Here's how we're going to do this. It's going to be head-to-head. Consider it a double elimination back and forth. So there's 10. If you name all 10, then wow, you're both incredible. But if you miss two, you're out, and the other person gets warm it up, Chris.
Ooh, wow.
All right.
Sweet.
I'll give you a pass on one, but if you miss two, you're out.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We flipped a coin before the game started, and Russ gets to go first.
Oddly enough, I was listening to another podcast today. It didn't list the top 10 or anything, but it did name the number one on this list, and it was Massachusetts.
And it was the same list?
I don't know if it was the same list, but the question was, what state has the highest percentage of people with undergrad degrees?
That's incredible. Well, yeah. The number one is Massachusetts. I'm starting to feel like my list has been pillaged before we even got started. All right, Scott, what do you think?
I was going to say I was going to start with Massachusetts just because of the high population of colleges in the Boston area alone. But I guess for my second choice, I'll go New York.
New York is number 9 on the list. You barely
held on.
Duck with it there.
Probably should stay out east. I'd say Virginia.
Virginia is number 6 on the list.
I will break from the pack then and try California.
California is not on the list.
Ooh, that's what I was going to say next.
Oh my goodness.
That's crazy. So let's stay up in New England. I will say Connecticut. This is percentage, right?
It is percentage.
Okay, so let's say Connecticut.
Connecticut is number 4 on the list. Scott, back to you. You can't miss another one.
Yeah. Percentage. And it is percentage, not population, right?
That is correct. Otherwise, California would have definitely been on the list.
Let's go with North Carolina.
North Carolina. Not on the list.
Oh
we have a winner of Warm It Up, Chris. Russ, how many of the rest of them can you name?
I don't know. I would have just stayed in the Northeast with the Ivy League schools. So like New Hampshire, Vermont, Rhode Island.
New Hampshire and Vermont are yeses. Rhode Island is a no. Number 10 was Minnesota.
Really?
Yes. Number 5 was New Jersey.
What?
Yeah.
Number three, well, they're all going to work in New York. Number three was Maryland, and number two was Colorado.
Colorado. Wow.
So, yeah, it was mostly northeast corner states, but Minnesota and Colorado both made an appearance in there.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So, Russ, you seem to be in full swing, ready to exert your dominance here.
That will be the end of that.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but we haven't seen the end of that yet. All right, are we ready to go?
Why not?
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Round one. Question one is a music category. The question very simply is, what band is waiting for a girl like you?
I'm locked in.
I'm pretty sure I've got this one, too. Yeah, I think I've got it.
Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking it's Foreigner. That's what I have written down.
And what makes you think it's Foreigner?
It just sounds like, when I hear it in my head, it sounds like Lou Gramm. And I know Lou Gramm's lead singer, Foreigner, so.
Wow, you knew something I didn't know. I never heard of Lou Gramm. Russ, who do you think did it?
It was Foreigner.
Foreigner. Let me see if I can hit this note. Hold on. This is going to be so bad.
Can't wait.
Pull your earphones off.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm waiting for a girl like you. That Love was it. So bad. You only get that on Trivial Warfare, let's be honest. You can't get that anywhere else.
Small blessings.
That's true. You can't get that anywhere.
Okay. Amy's going to be mad at me, but category number two is the Bible.
Oh,
gosh, she gave me an earful last time.
Oh, yeah. That was I think she officially protested because of the Bible.
Yes. Question is, who was the first king of Israel?
I'm going to lock in.
First king of Israel. I don't know that I know this. First king of Israel. I'm going to guess Herod.
Herod. Okay. Russ, what do you got?
Yeah, this comes up sometimes in trivia. This is pretty much the only way I'll know Bible stuff. So I said Saul.
King Saul, that is correct. He was the first king of Israel, and he flubbed it up so bad that God gave it to David instead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Good job.
Okay. Your third category in the first round is games.
Oh, boy.
This is a first round question. I don't think you guys have too much to worry about.
Okay.
The original advertising music for what Milton Bradley game started with these words? It's a race. It's a chase. Hurry up and feed their face.
I'm going to lock in.
Well, I don't know the song, but just from the words, I can infer that it's Hungry Hungry Hippos.
You're inferring it. Okay. All right, Russ, what do you got?
There is a question in my pub quiz set tonight, this very night, about Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Wow. Is it really?
Yeah.
I can tell you that when I was researching this question, I got a real laugh out of the names because they've changed the names. They used to have real like people names,
yep.
But now they're all like some goofy name with the last name Potamus. So one of them, my favorite name is Bottomless Potamus.
Bottomless Potamus.
Bottomless Potamus. That's one of the names.
That's funny.
Okay, after the first round, it is 30 for Russ to 20 for Scott. Round two, your first category is sports.
Sports.
What currently active NFL player holds the record for the most receptions by a rookie?
Ooh. Currently active.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Oh, boy. That's what I was afraid of.
I never said I was right. I just said I was locked in.
I'm just trying to think of guys who came into the league. You don't usually get a wide receiver that has a big impact in his first season. I'm going to say Odell Beckham Jr. It seemed like he made a big splash his first year in the league. So I'll say Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay. Russ with ODB.
It's funny you put it that way because how I wrote it down was ODB.
ODB. So. Okay, well, guys, if you remember Odell Beckham Jr.'s first year, he didn't actually start playing until like game five or six due to an injury.
Hmm.
Uh-oh.
Oh, in this case, ODB did not set that record.
Oh,
wow.
That record was set by an Arizona Cardinal named Anquan Boldin.
Boldin, okay.
Okay.
It was like 2003, I think.
Okay.
Makes sense.
All right, so we both missed the sports question. I'm surprised, Scott. I'm disappointed in you.
Well, sorry. Yeah,
me too.
It happens.
Okay, well, maybe we can redeem ourselves with movies.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Russ, your wheelhouse is definitely the pop culture stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, here we go. 6 years after the hit movie Twins, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito reteamed for what box office disaster?
I'm locked in.
Seems like I remember them in the movie Junior, and that's what I'm going to go ahead and go with is Junior.
Junior. Okay, Russ.
I cannot make up any ground here. It's Junior. Yeah.
Dude, what do you mean make up ground? You're winning.
I mean, I can't get a spread. And if I'm if I don't have a double up going into the last round, I'm dead.
Oh, boy. Well, so Junior, is correct. I remember the movie poster picture. There's like a doctor in the background, and Arnold is profiled with his hand over his fat belly as if he's pregnant and looking out at the crowd in surprise. That movie was terrible.
isn't that the fake? I don't know if you listen to the podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Oh, is that with Paul Scheer?
Yeah, Paul Scheer.
I've heard he's really good.
Basically, have superimposed their heads on their
right.
picture for their podcast.
You're
from
right.
That, from that movie, yeah.
Exactly. I didn't realize that's where that came from.
Yeah.
Okay, well, guess what? Category number 3 in round 2 is television.
Okay.
There are 3 television shows currently tied with the most Emmy wins for a drama series with 26 wins each. Name at least 2 of them, and you'll get 3 bonus points if you can name all 3. I'll repeat the question.
Primetime Emmys.
Yes.
For dramas.
There are 3 television shows currently tied for the most Emmy wins for a drama series with 26. Obviously, that's not necessarily best drama series. That could be best actor in a drama, best supporting actor, actress, etc., etc. Most Emmy wins for a drama series with 26. Name at least 2 of them, and 3 bonus points if you can name all 3.
Okay.
And these aren't necessarily current shows.
They are not necessarily current shows.
Okay, I'm going to lock in.
You got all 3 written down?
I have 3 written down. I don't know if they're right.
All right, Scott, talk it out, brother. Walk me through what you're thinking.
I'm pretty sure Breaking Bad has that many wins. That's the easy one. Now it's just trying to come up with 2 more. I want to say Mad Men. And with the other one, I'm going to go with The Sopranos. So my 3 are going to be Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and The Sopranos.
Breaking Bad, Mad Men, and The Sopranos. Okay, Russ, what did you think they were?
2 of those worry me. I think, though, at this most recent Emmys, I wrote a question about one of these setting or tying the record, and that was Game of Thrones. The other one that we have in common was Mad Men. And then one that I thought was in my question about, I didn't have it in the question, but I thought in the question that I wrote before, Game of Thrones tied The West Wing. So I had Game of Thrones, Mad Men, and The West Wing.
Okay. Those are all of the shows you guys named were great, right?
Yes.
So in this case, our 3 television shows tied are Hill Street Blues.
Okay.
I was thinking that.
Game of Thrones and The West Wing.
Wow.
Russ, that question writing prowess has saved you with that one, buddy.
Great job.
No bonus. Okay, that was a 10-point swing. So after the second round, Russ has 50, Scott has 30. And we're leading off round 3 with literature.
Literature.
Here we go. Zaphod Beeblebrox was the inventor of the Pangalactic Gargle Blaster in what book?
I'm locked in.
Oh, would you like to 3-2-1 it?
Sure.
Sure, yeah, on this one, yeah.
I'll do the counting so that you have the same rhythm. and you guys can follow up after I say three, or after I say one. Three, two, one.
It's the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Well played, gentlemen. It is the Hitchhiker's Guide. Now, which give it away? Was it Zaphod or was it the Gargle Blaster?
Pangalactic Gargle Blaster.
It could have been either for me. I just really love Douglas Adams. Love that book. So,
have you read the whole set?
Oh, yeah. So Long Thanks for All Fish and all the way through. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Douglas Adams, gone too soon. One of my favorite authors. I just, really adore everything he's ever done. But it's funny. I even tweeted, it was National Poetry Day the other day, and I tweeted, Ode to a Lump of Green Jelly.
Wait, was that the Vogon?
Yes, the Vogon poetry, winner? Which is the second worst in the world, or second worst in the known universe, yeah.
Oh, I had I heard a story about that specific, so the second worst, and it was second worst to, like, Angela somebody from such and such England, right?
Yeah.
He had really used a real person's name who he didn't like from a thing in his life, right? And right before the book was published, he went in and changed it because he was afraid he was going to be sued.
Oh, that's
but his original copy had the real person in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was too funny when I found that out. Okay, round three, question two. Your category is astrology.
Oh, boy.
Along with its own namesake, what astrological sign is also represented by the eagle and the gray lizard?
Interesting.
Got to be honest, I don't keep my astrology like
it. I'm going to lock in.
Oh, Russ had an epiphany.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, Scott, if you don't know, at least you have a 1 in 12 chance of guessing.
I've at least got a 1 in 12 chance, though. So, eagle and gray lizard. Along with its namesake. I don't know. I'm just going to guess Taurus for no good reason.
Taurus, the bull. Yeah, okay. Russ, you had an epiphany.
I did.
What were you visualizing?
I've done some astrology rounds before, and I do visual rounds. So I include the image of the symbol, and I can remember an eagle and a lizard. I didn't know it was a gray lizard, but in the symbol for Scorpio, I believe, unless I'm wrong.
The correct answer is Scorpio.
Sweet.
Wow,
I'm impressed with that. I've never seen anybody use the symbols for the eagle and the lizard.
Usually you see those in the drawn out. It's not the actual astrological symbols. It's the drawings of the representation of the, like, Sagittarius is the archer.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen one that had all three, though. I was impressed by that.
Wow.
All right. The third category in the third round is science.
Science.
Very simply, what are the three primary classes of rocks?
Okay, I'm locked in.
He writes fast, too, doesn't he, Scott?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is that I couldn't even have him written down by then. I know igneous, for sure. See, on my trivia team, one of our guys is he's just like 3 credits short of a geology major, and I would just shove this off to him. Say, there you go. This one's yours.
Teamwork.
Yeah. Igneous, and I know the next one begins with an S, but I can't just come up with the word. Okay, it's igneous and metamorphic. What is that third one?
Russ is playing games with his paper. He's flashing answers at you.
That's fine. Is it sedimentary?
So your answers...
Igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic.
Okay. Russ, what did you say?
I had igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary.
That's because igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary are correct.
I've been bobbed again.
No, well, that was amazing, though, because you're not going to hear it because it's going to be edited, but Scott just took about 2 minutes, maybe 2.5 minutes of quiet time and came just looking down at his hands and looking off into space And slowly but surely, like once every 45 seconds, he'd come up with another word. It was really good job.
Thanks. I just pulled it out thin air. You got to have those every now and then, I guess. Yep. So.
Your geology major friend is going to be very proud of you for that.
I hope so. Hope All so. Right.
After three rounds, it is 80 for Russ to 50 for Scott.
Too close.
Whew, I needed that one. Had to have that one.
Our midpoint question is about movie salaries. It's going to be well-known movie salaries. Here we go. I want you to write down these four numbers. 40 million, 20 million, 6.9 million, and 6.1 million. These are the top four actors' salaries in the movie The Avengers: Age of Ultron. I want you to tell me the actor or actress that matches up with each of those numbers.
40 million, 20 million, 6.9 million, and 6.1 million.
That's right. Now, obviously, there were a bunch of people in that movie, including bad guys and cameos and all that. So I didn't give you all the salaries. I picked some of the salaries. Actually, I can tell you this. These are the top four, so I'm not randomly picking.
Okay.
But you got to figure out who got paid the most and which ones got paid what.
These are the top four billed actors.
They are the top four salaries.
Salaries. This is difficult. I'm gonna go ahead and end it. I have four actors from the movie. Yeah. I don't know necessarily that's it.
I'm in the same boat. I'm just gonna go ahead and have four down just to stop burning.
All right, so you both have them matched up with the number you want?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, sure.
All right, Russ, why don't you go first?
All right, so 40 million, I think, was probably the obvious one, Robert Downey Jr. And then it's just kind of it's not actually, because I remember right after the movie came out, there was some hubbub about Scarlett Johansson making less than everybody else, which now that I think about it, probably messes this up if she's one of the top four billed. I said ScarJo for 6.1, Chris Hemsworth for the 20 million, and Mark Ruffalo for 6.9 million.
Okay, so you said Robert Downey Jr. for 40.
Yep, Hemsworth
Ruffalo, for ScarJo. 20, Ruffalo for 6.9, and Scarlett Johansson for 6.1.
Right.
Okay. Scott, what did you say?
I had Robert Downey Jr. for the 40, and I had Chris Evans for the 20 with the Captain America movies, but when I heard Chris Hemsworth, I was like, well, that might be that. I had ScarJo with 6.9 and Ruffalo with 6.1.
Okay. So here we go. In order, I'm going to give you the top six in order from least to most.
Okay.
Mark Ruffalo with 2.8 million.
That kills that one.
Chris Hemsworth with 5.4 million.
Wow.
Jeremy Renner with 6.1 million.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Chris Evans with 6.9 million.
Oh.
Scarlett Johansson with 20 million.
Wow.
And Robert Downey Jr. with 40 million. You each got one right, the first one.
Wow.
I think the controversy around that time, there was a controversy about women not making as much as men. And that was the Jennifer Lawrence argument that she's forcing people to pay her. I don't know if that was happening before Avengers came out and this was a reaction to it or not.
Yeah.
But Scarlett's definitely the most established star there other than Robert Downey Jr. So she got paid proportionately for her status.
Yeah.
Nice work.
All right. You each got 5 points. All right, before we move on to the second half, I want to talk to you guys about Loot Crate. I want to say thank you to you guys who went out to lootcrate.com/TWA and made a purchase. Apparently, there was a lot of you. We got really good feedback from our numbers in March, and that's awesome. That's really good for the show. And one of the ways that we are saying thank you is with our contest that I announced last week. Remember, the contest is for some stuff from last month's Loot Crate box. We had the Daredevil Punisher reversible knit cap, we had the Alien vs. Predator toy, and we had the Superman vs. Batman wallet Those are all going to go to one lucky winner, who is a member of the Trivial Warfare Army. All you have to do to become a member is to go to trivialwarfare.com and click on the Become a Warhead button. And you can also take a look at the items that are up for grabs here by going over to the Show Stuff link and clicking on Sponsors. I've put up pictures of all of the things that are up for grabs right there. Let me give you the deadline. If you want to be eligible to win the prize, you need to be signed up to be a Warhead by the end of the weekend of April 16th and 17th. Now, if you haven't gone and signed up to buy a Loot Crate yet, remember to go to lootcrate.com/TWA. And two things that they've done here recently that I want to make sure you're aware of. I told you up front that there was a $40+ worth of stuff in every box. Well, they've upped it. It is now $45 worth of stuff in every box. So that's a little bit of awesome. And the other thing that they have recently guaranteed is a t-shirt in every box. So if you're interested in some awesome geek and gamer merchandise, some toys, some clothes, some just neat stuff, then lootcrate.com/TWA and use the coupon code TWA to get a discount on your first month's box. All right, guys, let's get back to the show. The score going into the second half is 85 to 55. Category for round four is nerdy stuff.
Right in my wheelhouse. All right.
The Kobayashi Maru is a well-known no-win training scenario in what fictional universe?
I'm locked in.
Locked in.
Oh, we got a 3-2-1 opportunity.
Yeah.
I'll count them off. 3, 2, 1.
That is Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Star Trek is correct. That is the training simulation that Kirk famously cheated.
Yep, because he does not believe in the no-win scenario.
Okay, great job. I'm impressed that you guys knew that. Now, Russ, I don't know if you realize it, but for you, that's two Kobayashi questions in like three episodes now.
I was going to say the same thing because when I was listening to the last one, as soon as I heard Kobayashi, I thought they were going to ask about the Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, I really did. When I was listening to the other podcast where the Kobayashi hot dog champion question came up.
That's awesome. I had it on the brain. Okay. Second category of round four is languages. Speaking of Japanese, konnichiwa is a well-known Japanese word. I want you to tell me the common two-word translation.
Konnichiwa.
It helps if you do it in a Japanese accent, Russ.
Konnichiwa.
It's like, oh, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. I'm trying to think of situations where I've heard that. I guess I probably shouldn't talk it out.
Well, that's okay. I'm behind. You can talk it out all you need.
I'll lock in just to get it over with.
It's a two-word phrase in English.
A common two-word translation.
Hmm.
Rush, you said you're locked in. You're written down?
Yeah, I'm written down.
So I'm thinking like a good morning or a... I don't know if goodbye would be considered two words. That's more of a compound word. I'm just going to go ahead and say good morning.
Good morning. Konnichiwa. All right, Russ, what did you think it was?
Well, mine was close to that. And I was just kind of thinking, well, when you said konnichiwa, my first thought was just hello, because that seems like whenever you see that in a Japanese language situation, whenever somebody says konnichiwa, it's like just saying hello.
Right.
So I thought of that like maybe Buenos Dias or Guten Tag, something like that. So I just said good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Bid you good day, sir.
Good day, sir.
The correct answer is good afternoon. Good afternoon, which is not the same as good day.
Man.
At least I don't know enough Japanese to know if it's the same, but I don't believe it is.
Okay.
All right, so we both missed that one. And we move on to the end of round four, which is business.
Little piece of business.
That's right. There are only two countries in the world where you cannot buy a drink made by Coca-Cola. Name them.
I'm locked in.
Interesting. All right. just logicking this thing out, I started thinking about countries where we have trade issues, trade problems. And obviously China, I know you can buy Coke because I did a question about the price of a Coke in China. So I said North Korea and Cuba, which I think will probably not be true for very long.
You're sure your question wasn't about the price of tea in China?
It could be.
Okay, so you said North Korea and Cuba.
Cuba.
All right, Scott, what did you say?
Well, I wish I'd have known the same thing about you about China, because I did say China is one of mine, but Russia is the other one for me, so.
China and Russia.
Yeah.
The answers are North Korea.
Ooh.
And Cuba.
Oh, sweet. It is.
Good
job. Nailed it.
Yeah, I could guess.
Yeah, there was a big Coke campaign associated with the Olympics in China.
Yeah.
So the advertising and whatnot for that was another way of working around there.
And remember during the perestroika glasnost stuff, Coke made a big splash in Russia. So
okay.
After five rounds, it is 105-65 with Russ in the lead. Six questions left, gentlemen. And the first one is going to be about Las Vegas.
Okay.
Las Vegas.
The Round Table is a buffet restaurant in what Las Vegas casino?
I'm locked in.
I'm locked in.
Oh, that was fast. You want 3-2-1 this?
Yeah, we can 3-2-1, sure.
Okay.
All right, here we go. 3-2-1.
Excalibur.
Excalibur is correct. Man, I thought that was going to be trickier than it was.
I had my 30th birthday party with some friends of mine. We stayed at the Excalibur.
Did you really?
First time I ever went to Vegas with some friends of mine.
I bet that was amazing.
It was something. What I remember of it was amazing. So.
Okay. Hopefully you still remember the answer to the number to the next question here in round five, and it's going to be a question about television. Roy Hinckley is the name of a television character who is better known by what moniker?
I'm locked in.
Roy Hinckley. I know I've heard that name. Intelligent. And this isn't necessarily a current show.
That information is not included in the question.
Roy Hinckley. It's funny, the Hinckley that keeps coming in my mind is Greatest American Hero, but that's not an intelligent question. They had to change the name of the character from Hinckley, I think, to Hanky in the series because of the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan. Roy Hinckley. Intelligent character. Roy Hinckley. Gosh. Intelligent character. I'm hung up on that. I can't even think of any characters. Oh, wait a minute. I was thinking Scorpion, but I've never watched that show. I just know that those are all a bunch of geniuses. I don't know. I'm going to have to go with... I'll just stick with Greatest American Hero. I'll just go with that.
Okay. Russ, did you also say the Greatest American Hero?
I did not, but Hinckley was the original name of that character, but it was Ralph Hinckley. Greatest American Hero. Roy Hinckley hung out with people like Jonas Grumby and Thurston Howell III. Roy Hinckley was the professor.
Oh, there it is.
Jonas Grumby, the skipper. I was going to whistle the theme if you didn't get it right.
Oh,
wow.
He was saved. The professor in Gilligan's Island.
Good job. I wouldn't have never, I don't think I'd ever come around to that.
I was wondering, but when you started talking about Scorpion, I was like, nope, he's gone in the wrong direction.
Wrong era entirely. So, yeah. Yeah. Good job.
Okay. The last category in round five is common bonds.
Common bonds.
I'm going to give you a list of names here, and I'm going to ask you what they have in common. Britney Spears, Anna Kournikova, Osama bin Laden, Avril Lavigne, Michelangelo, and Tanya Harding all have what in common?
And well, okay, run through those again.
Absolutely. Britney Spears, Anna Kournikova, Osama bin Laden, Avril Lavigne, Michelangelo, and Tanya Harding all have what in common?
I'm going to lock in.
I'm reminded, have you seen the movie Intolerable Cruelty with George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Definitely not.
Very funny movie. It's a Coen Brothers movie. Very good. But he's a lawyer. He's a divorce lawyer. And he's very frustrated with his work. And at one point, he turns to his associate and he says, Attila the Hun, Ivan the Terrible, Alexander the Great, what do they all have in common? And he looks at him back and says, middle name? That's what I'm coming up with this one is this is a very broad list of people. What could they have in common? The two things I'm thinking are birthday or they're all left-handed. That seems like the only type of connection any of these would have. I'm going to go birthday. I'm going to say they all have the same birthday.
Okay. Scott says they all have the same birthday. Russ, what did you think the answer is?
Well, when you read the list, I started thinking there's no way any of these people has anything in common outside of some physical trait because they're all just so, they lived in different, Michelangelo, for instance, lived in a totally different era. So they can't have anything in common with anything in the real world. So it has to be something physical. So I said famous lefties.
Oh, so one of you said lefties. One of you said birthdays. Does either of you think the other is right?
I think Scott's probably right.
I was going to say, I think Russ is right.
I think neither of you is right because the correct answer is they all have computer viruses named after them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Every last one of them.
Huh. Okay.
I've heard of Michelangelo.
All right. After the fifth round, the score is 125-75. Now,
too close.
It is close. Closer than you think. If Russ gets all of the next three right and Scott gets all of the next three wrong, it will be a runaway. If that does not happen, then we have a contested final.
Ooh.
Which I'm hoping for.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too.
So. Here we go. The first category in the sixth round is history.
Okay.
This may be the most challenging question of the day. The fall of what city in 1492 marked the end of Muslim rule on the Iberian Peninsula?
Wow. Okay. I'll lock in. I don't have a great answer, but got something at least.
I'm fascinated by the Moors and Muslims in that period of time. It's one of those topics I don't know enough about. And so when I ran across the question and the concept for the question, I wanted to include it for sure. If Chris was here, he would say, where's the Iberian Peninsula?
That, at least I know.
I don't know the Iberian Peninsula, but gosh. I'm just going to... No, I can't go with that. I'm just going to guess Carthage for no good reason.
Okay, Carthage for no good reason. Russ, do you have a good reason for your answer?
Well, I have a reason. I don't know if it's a good reason. So the Iberian Peninsula is Portugal and Spain and a couple of little principalities. So I figured it was probably a port city. So I said Lisbon. Total stab in the dark. I have no reason to think that's correct, but just a stab in the dark.
Okay. Russ is taking a stab in the dark, and if he misses it, the final will be contested.
Oh, boy.
The correct answer is Granada.
Oh.
Granada.
Granada is the city that fell in 1492.
Would never have gotten that.
All right, that was a big question. How exciting. Okay, our next category.
I knew about Granada's Camp Granada from the Hello Mudda, Hello,
Hello
Fada.
Mudda.
If you'd have asked about Hello Mudda, Hello Fada, I'd have been like, oh, it's Camp Granada, yeah.
I am 100% going to find a way to ask a question about Hello Mudda, Hello Fada. Okay. The second category in round six is literature.
Literature.
What author wrote the seminal biography of John Adams that was eventually turned into an HBO miniseries?
All right, I'm going to lock in.
I remember the miniseries.
I've heard it was a really good one.
Yeah, it was. I think it was Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
I don't remember seeing who wrote it, but I remember that Adams had a very up and down, but in the end, very close relationship with Thomas Jefferson. I'm just going to guess Thomas Jefferson because of that.
Okay. Mr. Friedewald, who do you think wrote the John Adams biography?
I actually remember this very well. I actually read the book before I saw the miniseries. It's David McCullough.
The correct answer is David McCullough.
Wow. Yeah. Good job.
Yes, it is. It is more recent than Mr. Jefferson would have written, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
The last category, round six, science.
Oh boy, science!
Science.
The order of insects known as Lepidoptera is primarily made up of what two types of insects?
I'm locked in.
Okay. Can you spell that?
You want me to spell insects?
No, no, I've
got a hand. I can take a crack at it.
You want Lepidoptera?
Lepidoptera.
Ooh, well done.
Yeah.
I'll do it again.
Lepidoptera.
Yes, Lepidoptera.
And it's made up of two insects.
Primarily made up of what two insects?
Let's guess. Again, just total guess here. I'm going to get centipedes and millipedes.
Oh, that's, you know what? That is a pairing.
That is a good guess.
All right, Russ, you locked in pretty fast there.
That is butterflies and moths.
Butterflies and moths is correct. They're them flying bugs. Boy, that Granada question was the big one.
Yep.
Going into the final, Russ has 145. Scott has 75. It's anybody's ball game.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, it really, really is.
No, this, yeah, absolutely.
Is a loss for me.
Yeah.
I've gotten exactly one of the finals right.
That's how many I've gotten right. So.
I wouldn't say it's a loss, but there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. That's
exactly what I'm saying. Okay, your final category is U.S. presidents. Here we go. I want you to put these U.S. presidents in order, from first to be inaugurated to the last to be inaugurated.
Okay.
Here's your list. James K. Polk, Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, and Franklin Pierce. That's James K. Polk, Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, and Franklin Pierce. Put them in order.
All right, I'm going to lock in.
Scott, what you thinking? Russ is locked in, so you can talk.
Yeah, I've got something written down. I know Polk and Taylor will run right after the other. I know it's like Tyler, Polk, Taylor. Now I'm trying to figure out where Fillmore and Pierce fall in. I think they're pretty close, too. I think they might be back-to-back, too. It's either, in my memory, it's either the exact order you gave them in, or it's Fillmore, Pierce, Polk, and Taylor, and I'm trying to figure out which one to go with. Okay, I do think it's the order you gave them in. I think it's Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, and Pierce. So that's what I'm going to go with, Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, and Pierce.
Okay. Russ, what do you think?
Well, these come up obviously a lot in trivia. So I have, I memorized them backwards from Lincoln because these presidents come up a lot. So you got Lincoln, Buchanan, Pierce, Fillmore, Taylor, Polk, Tyler, and Harrison, et cetera. So, switching that order around, to go forwards, you actually did give them in the right hand. I thought when you said them, wait a minute, that sounds like the list. That sounds like the right order. I was like, when you gave them out, I was like, well, wait a minute. So yeah, I said Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, Pierce.
You've memorized all of the presidents in order before Abraham Lincoln, is what you're telling me.
Backwards, because it's easier to do it backwards.
Well,
these things come up. You got to be prepared.
You both caught on to my little trick. I thought I was being clever, because who, what idiot would give them to you in the order that they're supposed to be answered in? But in 1845, James K. Polk. In 1849, Zachary Taylor, who very quickly passed away, which I've read might be one of the best things that ever happened to us. In 1850, Millard Fillmore took over. And in 1853, Franklin Pierce was inaugurated. The order was Polk, Taylor, Fillmore, and Pierce. You both got it correct. Scott Barber, what did you wager?
I bet the farm because I had to. I'm a 75, ooh. So
Scott finishes with 150 points. Rush, you went into the final with 145 points. Did you bet zero, or did you bet something?
I was hoping my math was right just now. I said 6 points.
The biggest six you ever saw. Making the final score in our championship match, 151 for Russ, 150 for Scott. Russ,
wow,
you are our champion. Crazy. Congratulations, man.
Great job. Thanks, congratulations. Good job.
That was awesome.
What a finish. Goodness gracious.
I knew going up against Russ was going to be rough going into it. I was just glad to just finish 1 point behind him, to be honest with you. But with you getting the final question, you know, I mean, it's I had to have gone in with the lead. So
that was nuts.
Great job. Fantastic job.
Yeah, you too.
That awesome. Was definitely our closest matchup. What's interesting to me about that is truthfully that you both had to kind of prove your way through to get to this point. So I expected it to be a good matchup. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Well done, guys.
Crazy.
All right.
Thank you.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Thank you guys for participating. I want to say thank you to everybody who participated in the tournament. I'm not going to name everybody. You guys can go look at the full bracket on TrivialWarfare.com. If you go over to the third tab over, the Trivial Warfare link, you can see the tournament brackets. You'll see the completed bracket with Russ as the champion about a couple of days after this episode airs. I just want to say thank you to all of the people that participated from the very beginning. You guys all signed up like within less than a day of the point at which I announced we were doing a tournament. The number of people on the site has basically doubled since we started the tournament. So, I mean, it's been a great experience, I think, for the show. It's been great to get everybody on to give listeners the chance to hear each other and understand the quality of the people who are playing the game and who are listening to the game. And my hat's off to everybody who competed. Y'all all did a great job.
Yeah, it's fun to listen to, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, it's been a great tournament. Listen to, play in, everything.
Awesome. All right, guys, with that being said, I'm Jonathan, that's Scott, and that is our champion, Russ, whose nickname is The Beast, according to the guys on the website, on the Facebook group.
No.
And we're signing off. Remember, this is Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
Bye. These are the top four billed actors.
They are the top four salaries.
Salaries. This is difficult.
I don't even know if they're billed. Seems like they're paid, not billed. Sorry, it's a bad invoicing joke. Yeah, the accountant laughed at that. He's like, left side, right side.
The CPA laughed at the accounting joke, yeah.